Hello, everybody. 12 o'clock. Oh, I'm usually early, but this time I feel a little late. But hello, welcome to week 10. How's everybody doing? I have to say, you know, I say this every time I watch the video that you're watching before I give this class, this session, so that, you know, I'm perfectly up to speed with where you are and what we're teaching. And every time I look at it, you know, again, I'm in a different place. And I was watching today about that we're really focusing here on fit is it. What is going to be the best fit for you in every way possible for the next chapter of your career and professional life? And we were talking about, you know, some people say, oh, I just really want to start my own business. But the reality is they really don't know what that entails. And for some people, it is a perfect fit. But for others, it isn't. It really isn't. And we were talking in the video about a lot of people say, I want work-life balance. You know, and that's why I want my own business. But, boy, when you're launching things, which I am in the throes of right now, as you know, launching a coach certification program, there's literally no balance. You know, I and my team are working day and night well into the, you know, after midnight. So fit is really it. You know, when you're going through those hard times in every job, every professional direction, every career will have tough times. You know, no one wakes up every single morning of their life loving every minute and every aspect of their career. I don't think. I've never met someone who does. But when the fit is right, you actually feel like what you're going through is worth it. What you're going through is worth it, and there's an outcome that you're striving towards that's going to make you proud and going to make you excited. And like for me, for instance, I'm learning a lot about launching a certification program, very different from a course. And, you know, it's a steep learning curve, and thankfully I have some great mentors, and you know, I'm very, very grateful. But there will be mistakes, there will be hiccups, there will be bumps, and it's all in kind of how you embrace them, how you look at them, and is the outcome actually going to be something you're going to be thrilled with in terms of the learning. So that's my lesson for this morning. Today. So who has anything to share? Anything at all? Are you going through anything new right now around this fit situation? And let me share. We are now in the say yes phase. We are in week 10. We have 6 weeks left. So this is where the rubber meets the road. We've got to now, if we really want to be where we want to be at the end of this program, and that is my commitment to you, that you have moved forward in a way that makes you very happy. And, you know, maybe you're not in the perfect career yet, but you are on your way. You understand it. You're making the steps to create it. And that's what say yes is. Say yes to your compelling visions. If you still don't have an idea, if you're still very, very confused, we've got to help you get over that. And that could be a one-on-one session with Laura. That could be going back and watching a few videos that got you stumped. We're going to get you over that. So let me just jump right in before we go to the slides. Is there anybody right this minute who says, I'm not there? And in this video, we talk about the four buckets, and I'm going to be referring to those quite a bit now because we've got to know what bucket you're in. And let me just share that with you, and then I will go through the slides. But there are four key buckets here, meaning we want to help you figure out where you fit. Number one, do you want to just stay where you are in this current job, but you want it to shift, you want more success, more recognition, more flexibility, more money, whatever it is, but you know you want to stay in this job, you want to make it better. Number two, I want a new job. I want to do what I'm doing, but not for this employer. Number three, nope, I'm done with this. I want a new career like I did. I left my corporate VP-ship, I left being a marketing expert and a product developer. I said, I'm done. Ugh, done. That's a new career. Or number four, a new business or a new business venture. So I would love to have you all tell me, where do you think you are? Let's hear it. Who wants to share? and you can share that, you know, I'm stuck, I really still don't know, or you can share, this is what I know to be true. I'd love to hear from you. Who's going to jump in and tell me? Raise your hand. Start two. I'd love to hear from you all because I want these next 6 weeks to be a lot more interactive with you and me. I want to present a lot more coaching material. I want to help you with your specific problems. I don't want it to be passive. I want us to be really engaged with each other because that's how we're going to move forward fast. So who can raise their hand? Start two and tell me which bucket you're in or if you're struggling with the buckets. And what I'm going to do is go to the Q&A and see if anyone submitted anything. Nope, nothing. All right. Who's going to raise their hand, friends? Star two. Oh, you know, it's funny. In all these calls, people are shy in the beginning. I understand that. And some of you I know can't speak because you're in a quiet place or you're at work. But one of you can speak. Who's going to do it? Who's going to start to it? No? Okay. I'm wondering what that means. Oh, yay. Who do we have? Hello, Bellevue, Washington. Oh, hello. Start to yourself. Oh, hi. Who's this?
This is Lisa Cook.
Who is it?
Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
Good. Thank you for being the brave one and raising your hand. I so appreciate it. So which bucket are you in, Lisa?
If you don't mind, I just need a few more seconds to get into my car. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm one of those who can't speak. The office walls are very thin, and I can't speak out loud there, so I just go to my car to talk, and I'm almost there. So I have to go through what really helped me with the visualization exercises.
Great.
And the key for me, okay, I'm in the car now.
Great.
I know that sounds crazy, but this is
No, it doesn't. I get it. Thank you.
So what helped me was the visualization exercise and the fact that you emphasized that you were successful. You know, you're visualizing that you're successful
right,
in all
right.
of these buckets.
Right.
And I've been working with Lynn Carroll a bit on how things feel when they're good for you and how things feel when they're not working for you.
Right.
And I think that the let go phase has worked for me pretty well with Lynn's help.
Great.
So I do feel kind of disengaged in a way that I can be objective about these things. So I would say the buckets that felt a little scary but exciting at the same time were new career and my own business.
Wow.
I enjoy what I do, and I've made some changes as a result of your program to my schedule. So I have myself in a new environment, and that feels much better than what I was prior to your program, okay? So I have made slight changes and requests and set boundaries, and that does feel better, but it doesn't feel great.
Okay. So let's do this. And I want, again, all of you are going to hear this. I'm a broken record. I'm really committed to your success and to I don't want us to get to the end of this program where you feel as stuck as you did when you came. That is just not, I don't want that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So now we really have to take these realizations and these insights and do something. And, you know, that's the difference between coaching and therapy, for instance, although great therapy allows you to do things differently as well. But what I really want to do is be behavioral and solution focused here. What do you think, Lisa, that might mean for you when you say, let's start with your own business? What might that mean?
Originally, a few years back, I did set up an LLC, and I was considering working in some kind of a data aggregate manner for quality outcomes in healthcare. The concept is actually a huge one, and my technical skills are zero, so I'd have to, hire people, bring people on to help me. I have spoken with a colleague who got her MBA in health management. I'm sorry, I'm not probably using the correct term, but it means being a
a high-level management person in healthcare. And so we've gone through some of these concepts. It's actually quite a difficult thing to implement. And where I hit a wall was my motivation to help a profession that has I feel emotionally hurt by. I know this needs to be done. I know it's important. And I know it could get my colleagues and me and the businesses a long way to being integrated in where we need to be. But I have an emotional just kind of block because I don't want to really help them. And as you said, starting your own business is a huge amount of time and resources.
There's so much to talk through on this. And I really applaud you, and I'm grateful for your honesty. Can I throw out a few things? I'm going to brainstorm with you for a minute and tell you what I feel. And this is intuition speaking, so you know, let's see if this helps. But when you said, I'm a little torn, helping a profession that I feel emotionally hurt from, do you know that really resonates with me with coaches? Because coaching has been hard for me. You know, I've had 10 years, and six of them I didn't make enough money, and it was really traumatic, really. I didn't figure it out. And I think it's only this past year that when prosperity really flowed and I started to figure some things out that I could even entertain the idea of helping coaches, and that's being really honest. So I completely get you. Here's my question to you. Tell me, how do I want to ask this? Are you still in the position where you're not sure you want to help this profession because it's hurt you? Are you still there?
I am still in a position where I'm not sure if I want to help. And what's difficult, I mean, like you had a tremendous amount of experience and skills in that area. That's where my life has been for most of it, okay? So a lot of training, a lot of, you know, tests, and you know, we spend a lot of our lives in my profession, and which is pathology, to you know, keep up, and so we invest a lot into our jobs and into our careers. Yeah. And so yes, I am still torn about whether this is where I'm going to get, you know, kicked in the head again, and whether I can even generate consensus to do anything, which is really what's going to be important here. I have sincere doubts that these people are able to set aside personal agendas and take a look at some teamwork, something that's going to require trusting each other and working together. I doubt that they can do it, frankly. So I kind of feel like I could build it and it'll just absolutely fall flat. I'm not sure I'll be able to sell it.
I hear you. So I want to throw an intuitive idea in here. Can I?
Sure, of course.
And then I think, Lisa, maybe meeting with Laura will really be a good idea for you. So here's what I feel. First of all, you know, I'm interviewing entrepreneurs all over the place. Just did a Forbes interview today, a woman 30 under 30, Jenny Gottstein. She developed a business, The Go Game, where they have interactive, amazing games that are used for team building. And Facebook and Uber and, like, the top companies in the world are using it. Anyway, when you look at these entrepreneurs who have succeeded tremendously, this is my belief. They've started a business tapping their amazing gifts. So in your case, not always, but in your case, data aggregation is not your skill.
No.
So what worries me about that, and this is just a sample of one, but I'm going to throw it out, you would be contemplating two things that I think are a double negative. You don't really love this field, number one. You're not sure, number two, you're not sure this thing is going to go anywhere because of the personalities and the challenges, right?
Yes.
Number three, you're not skilled in this.
Correct.
And you would have to hire people, which would leave you only in the position of being the business development person. In other words, you're not the data aggregator. You don't know what you're selling, but you would have to pitch it. I think that's like three strikes against you.
Okay.
So this is what I would like you to think about. And here's who came to mind when you were talking. I interviewed a woman, Dr. Neha Sangwan, and I can find, you can find that on my Forbes blog. She is a respected physician and, you know, had a strong medical career, but she was getting broken down by the intense demands and, you know, it was really messing with her. But what she was noticing is after she was helping people who had had major life-threatening illnesses, heart attacks, whatever, diabetes, what she started to do was ask some different questions than other doctors. She started to realize when she said, "Why do you think you have this right now?" They almost always could say why. And it was a very deep problem in their relationships, in their communication, in what they couldn't express.
Okay.
So she has morphed into being an expert trainer on communication for physicians. Now, to me, that is a perfect marriage of someone with incredibly high, deeply honed, 30-year experience. She's not chucking it, but she has morphed into using her experience of being in pain around how physicians' lives are, and then looking at her clients and how to serve them better. And she's really successful. So I think that you are entertaining some great ideas, but I think you're looking in the wrong place. Does this make sense?
Yes, it does.
So I'm thinking, go back to the drawing board where none of those strikes are against you, where you could build something that would attract people who say, "Oh, my God, yes." Not, "Oh, for goodness sake, no." Right?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right. I hope that's helpful. And if you need help dimensionalizing it, do call Laura Neff. You know, some of this stuff is hard to tease out on our own. But I think you're making headway. I hope this is helpful.
It is, Kathy. Thank you.
You are welcome. Thank you. All right, folks. Anyone else? Anyone else want to raise their hand and get some coaching about how do I figure out what the right fit is? No, let me go to the Q&A and make sure that nobody's... Here's a question. All right. Wendy. Hi, Wendy. Wendy in Seattle says, "I'm a bit behind on the videos, Kathy, and will be caught up by next week. I feel that I've reached a place of acceptance in my current role, which has improved the environment." Okay. Way to go. "This has also offered me an interesting development opportunity with the organization. I still feel in my heart of hearts that I need to change direction of my career and will do so with a transition plan." Wonderful. Yes. "Your program has truly helped me feel unstuck and my mental perspective has shifted." Yay, Wendy. So glad. "What I am focusing on is doing my best work in the current situation while being hopeful and optimistic for change to come." Thank you. All right, Wendy. I love it. And, you know, you're saying a few things here. And to me, this is like you're a poster child for this program. We do have to shift what's going on right now in our current situation. I really believe that. I think when we leap before we do that, we're not as successful in the next venture or next chapter. So awesome. What I would have you keep doing is thinking about what the next step is. Always do what you have to do to stay afloat, but plant the seeds for your future self so that every day in whatever situation you're working on, you're thinking about, what is the juiciest vision for my life? And am I doing at least one thing a week or a day or a month that's heading me towards that? So wonderful, Wendy. Thank you for sharing. Awesome. All right, folks, I want to go to the slides and just hit on some really important parts of this for a few minutes, then we'll go back to some coaching. All right, so again, we're talking about fit is it. Evaluating the best next direction takes knowing what matters most and fits best. So what is our takeaway today? Your career growth will be thwarted if you're pointing in the wrong direction. And I think that's really true in any of these buckets. And even when let's say you've identified, as Lisa has, okay, I'm thinking I want out of this career. But we can be pointed in the wrong direction in how we are assessing what we think is going to give us joy. Because we have to, you know, the next phase is trying it on. It's one thing to think about, you know, I want to start a business, let's say, you know, with data aggregation. It's another thing to live the identity of that. What is that going to be like every day when I'm running a business about something I don't really know well, for instance? So we have to find the right direction, and that's first identifying it cognitively, and then it's trying it on, which we're going to really focus on in the next phase. So just a few things. When thinking about the next chapter, are you running from something? And, you know, Lisa, I think you are in a way because there's pain there. And we don't want to run, right? I have lived this. You don't want to do it. And we've talked about this a lot. You want to address what isn't right in yourself, isn't productive in yourself and in the situation and in your relationships. And you want to shift it or it's going to repeat. So if you do not do the work of shifting the negativity, the toxicity, the, you know, in some way, like even when you are, I work with, interestingly, quite a number of physicians are in my classes, and I have two right now who are private clients. Some of these ecosystems are really hard, really hard. And for some, they feel like there's no way I can shift myself, but there is. You know, it's who you associate with. It's the bonds you form. It's the, you know, what comes to mind is executive committee you create, meaning your advisors, your personal cheerleaders and advisors. You can shift it. Not everybody around you is the same. So we have to find ways to proactively shift what's going on, right? The other piece is don't throw the baby out with the water. And Lisa, I'm going to use you as an example again because you gave me food for thought. You're a very skilled pathologist, I'm guessing. You've had 30 years, I'm guessing. Do you really want to chuck that out? I'm not sure, right? I know you feel beaten up by this right now. But, you know, again, like for me, I wanted to chuck out my entire corporate life. But when you look at the skills that I'm using to make a successful business, I use a lot of those skills. Now, I'm not the person I was, but I utilize those skills. So do you really want to throw the baby out with the water, bathwater? I'm guessing not. You know, truthfully, it's a lot easier if you don't, because you're leveraging traction you've made. You're leveraging your deep expertise. You're leveraging your credibility. But sometimes we do want to throw it out. But you just have to know what you're doing with eyes open. And, you know, you've got to look at what's holding you back the most today. So I want to also talk about, it's not just the essence of what you want going forward. It's the form of it. And that form takes the shape in a lot of ways. It's the money, it's the lifestyle, it's your relationships, it's your ability to be with your family, it's how much control you have, it's the geography of it. I mentioned in the video, you know, I have friends who are top CEOs, and they're traveling all the time. They're uprooting their kids. And I have one family, you know, the uprooting was a disaster, frankly. They hate the town they live in. I mean, it's unhappiness. And I never wanted that. I knew I never wanted that. So you've got to think about these things. How about flexibility? How about risk tolerance? If you are not a risk-tolerant person, you're going to have a very hard time launching your own business because it's all risk in the beginning. It's just all risk. How about your future, your retirement, your savings? You know, I mean, I wiped out my retirement savings, wiped it out to build this business. But I was okay with that because I have a very deep abiding faith and belief that this, I had a faith that this would work out. And finally, I had a plan and a business model that I had created. It wasn't just, woohoo, it's going to be okay, because I talk about that in every video where I'm training coaches, don't have a build it and they will come mentality only. You've got to have strategies, business building strategies that are going to keep you afloat. Otherwise, you're going to lose everything. And I know from experience. Working for yourself versus others. You know, I never liked having a boss, never. But some people enjoy that hierarchy. They enjoy the structure. They enjoy having a boss to maybe be a buffer to some of the challenges, to be a sounding board. What do you really want, right? And finally, meaning and purpose. What is going to be what you are going to look back on life and say, wow, this is the life I was meant to have. At the end of it, you're going to look back and say, I don't have regrets. This is the life I was meant to have. All right, I'm going back to our dashboard, and I see we have a question in Miami. Hi.
Hi, Kathy, it's Angelique.
Hi, Angelique.
I'm actually in New York. How are you?
Oh, I'm good. How's it going? Tell us. What's going on?
Good, good. So I'm pretty sure I'm in the, you know, kind of want to change careers group. Because just to remind you and everybody, I was in the group where I was so miserable, before I even started this course, I quit. So I've been trying to kind of figure out what I wanted to do, because not only did I have no work-life balance, but I just really didn't enjoy what I was doing.
Right.
And so I've been spending the past, you know, few months kind of talking to people and trying to tease out, you know, what I did enjoy from my job and kind of what that means going forward.
Great.
So I kind of had an interesting opportunity, or I was, you know, been looking at a lot of job postings, and I kind of came across one that was like, this would be my dream job if I could. It's kind of like the best thing I never knew that maybe I kind of wanted. And it was a research apprenticeship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great opportunity, because I feel like the things I naturally like and I'm good at are, I like asking questions. I like working with math and numbers, but I also like working with people. And then this apprenticeship had an opportunity where it was in the kids group, and you have an opportunity to, like, work with kids.
Ooh.
And, in essence, work with clients who create kid-related products.
Wow.
So it was kind of just, like, an amazing combination. And I was lucky enough and had got an interview.
Wow.
And I had it – yeah, and I had it on Monday, and it went pretty well. But I have to say I've been a little discouraged. I'm kind of working through it because – one, I feel like I don't have as much of the kids' background as I think they're kind of hoping for.
Okay.
And so I kind of felt them kind of pushing me towards – there's two apprenticeships. One's with the kids' group and one's in their general group. And that group lends itself better to my background because it's more, you know, brand strategy related.
Yeah.
So I told them I would be interested in both because they're both exciting opportunities.
Great.
But I've been trying to, you know, keep myself positive because – the first one just seems so amazing that, you know.
So let me ask you this.
Sure.
I love what you've done, that you said absolutely, and this is what you want. Everybody on this call, you want the job offer. That's what you want. Then you think about it, right? But you do everything you can to get the offer because you want options, right? So if they – let me just – I'm going to be a little directive, less like a coach, more like a consultant. If you get the other one, take it. But what's so interesting is, you didn't even know that you wanted kids to work with kids till you saw this, right?
Right. I mean, it was one of those things I listed as, like, things I'm good at when we were doing the assessment, but I never really realized how it could be part of my job with everything else. Yeah.
So what I would say to you is watch your process. You know, a month ago, year, 2 months ago, you didn't even know that's what you wanted, and now you're feeling disappointed. Watch your process, meaning – have some realistic expectations. If you didn't even know, then, you know, to get a job immediately in that field might be hard. But what you could do is once you're in the organization, if kids stuff is really what you want, go and get some experience. Figure out how to do it. Volunteer for to run a project in that division. Stay late every day and work there. I don't know. Figure it out. But, you know, don't be discouraged. Because you just only had that idea very recently, correct?
True,
and sometimes when we glom on to something, we're glomming on to what we think it will be like. But we really have no idea. So, you know, the universe tends to know better. So if you get this other job, but you still are over there going, gosh, they're doing the kid stuff, then find a way. Build your expertise in the kid arena. And it would be the best of both worlds. You'll have a job where you're leveraging what you already do know. So under a safe, secure, kind of steady thing, you can expand into the kid arena. Does this make sense?
Yeah, completely.
I love it. Wow. You know, you sound very different from the first time we spoke. You sound really upbeat and like there's been a lot of progress. Do you feel that?
Yeah, there's been a big part of – you know, taking this time off for me, it was like I kind of needed to heal my soul. I wasn't the person.
Yeah.
I didn't like who I'd become anymore. I felt like I kind of had shrunk in myself, and I kind of been traumatized by my job. So I definitely feel like, you know, with your like the courses along the way with your course and just time to myself and taking a step back, I feel more like myself again, my self-confidence is back, my positivity. Oh, so things
I
are good. The new
it.
Year
I
starting off
it.
Into a positive way.
What's that? Say it again.
I was saying the new year is starting off
good.
Very positive.
So. Oh, I'm so happy. I really can feel it, and I'm so thrilled. So are you on Facebook with us, Angelique?
Yes, I am.
Will you please keep us posted? Let us know what
sure,
happens.
Sure, I definitely will. I will.
Yeah.
I have a second round interview on Monday. So
I'm so excited for you. Congrats.
Thank you.
Thanks. All right. Prayers are going up, and keep us posted. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Awesome. I'm loving it. I really do hear a real difference, Angelique, in your energy and your positivity, and I love what you're doing. All right. Anyone else, before we continue with the slides, anyone else want to share? Star 2 to raise your hand. Nope. All right. Let me go to the Q&A and see what else we got there. All righty. Nothing. So I'll go to the slides. Okay. So where were we? We're talking about the essence. You've got to find the essence of it, right? And the form. All right. So what do we do here when we're still figuring this out? So we do, and as Lisa mentioned, there is a visualization exercise. If you still can't understand which of these buckets you want to be in, do the visualization exercise. And you know, it's interesting. When I first wrote this course, I had not worked with groups. I had done all of this with one-on-one. And what's, transparently speaking, what's challenging is all of you are in a different place. You're different people. You have different values, different experiences. You know, it's sometimes not easy to offer an exercise that's going to work for everyone. It's really hard, in fact. So I kind of offered it up to the universe to say, okay, if people are still stuck, and I've got a number of people in this course still stuck, what is the best way to figure this out? And that exercise kind of just came to me. And, you know, I want to say I use it a lot now. I have a client who's very senior level in the financial world, and she's got job opportunities all over the place, and she just needs help thinking as big as she deserves to think. And in doing it and doing these exercises in the visualization, she realized exactly the impact she wants to have, but she never really allowed herself to believe she was capable of it. And also her fears around money make her cut herself off at her knees. Like, I truly see her in the White House doing really impactful work. But the first thing, you know, she worried about was, well, people in the White House don't make a lot of money. And when we're worried about money, that's where we go. But the answer to that is, yeah, but they become millionaires by writing a book, or, you know, they money is not the problem. So what we have to do, you know, so if you're stuck, visualize the impact you want to make. And then we have to develop some goals. So we have to think about 6 months from now, 1 year from now, 5 years from now, and even 10 years. Ten years from now, and some people don't like to think that far ahead, and others do. Like I do, because, well, I think I would say 5 years is as far out as I like to look, because I have very big goals, and when I look at them as being achieved, somehow it helps me understand the steps I have to take. It forces me to have a planning mindset and an action management mindset, rather than, woohoo, in fact, I do my budgeting every year, and I always do projections for every course, for every aspect of my work, for my speaking, for my writing, how much am I going to make? And I look at based on what's happened this past year, and then what I realistically am creating and what that might generate. It's really powerful to make these smart goal, specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and timely. And moving forward, you do have to figure out what's the remaining thing in my way or things. Is it a problem with money? Is it that I hate my career and I hate the people in it? You know, what is in the way here from you achieving the ultimate vision? And then also the timing. Again, timing is important. As I say in these videos, you know, when my kids were little, I could not achieve what I'm doing right now. because I work a lot, and the deadlines that I have really can't wait for anyone. So it wouldn't have worked if I were picking my kids up from school or going to their soccer games or watching my daughter's dance concerts. The timing has to be right for you to do the thing that you want to do, right? All right. I want to also touch on debunking some myths, and I'm hoping this is going to serve you. I hear repeated myths and assumptions that hurt people when they're deciding what next to do. Let me tell you what they are. I hear a lot of people in the corporate world say, I just want to work in nonprofit or academia. It'll be more fulfilling. But the reality is that's not necessarily true. I have people in nonprofit desperate to get out. I have quite a number of clients, and I've had a lot of them over the past 10 years, who want to get out of nonprofit because they're not making anything in these cases, and they're working, you know, they're doing the work of three people. So don't make that assumption. You need to figure out if the nonprofit organization or arena that you're thinking about, in fact, will be more fulfilling. And it may not be. The second is working for myself will be easier. It's not easy. It's not easy at all. And if you're not a business leader and haven't had business management experience, and you haven't hired people and you haven't managed initiatives, it's not easy. So that's a myth. It's very doable, and you can learn, and you can have a team of advisors, but it's not easy. The third myth I hear all the time, if I'm good at X, I'll definitely want to make a living at it, and that's just not accurate. You know, again, I'm a singer. I'm good at singing. I could have made money at it, and I have made some, a little bit of money doing it, but it's not at all what I want to make a living at. They're very, very different. Some things you want to keep as passions, some things you want to keep as hobbies. Some skills you want to leverage and monetize, some you do not, right? Work-life balance will be more doable if I'm self-employed. We touched on that. Often when you're self-employed, work-life balance goes out the window. Number five, and why is that? You know, I've read a lot about this. Yeah, when you're running your own business, it's all self-generated. You know, all of my deadlines are self-generated. I've got to launch this program, and the cart has to open by January 25th. But they don't feel self-generated. You know, when you need to make money in your business and when you're assessing a lot of factors and influences, these things feel urgent. So that's why work-life balance goes out the window, because even though you're setting the deadlines, setting the parameters, setting the milestones, they feel urgent and critical to you. Another assumption, I'm not good with money, so I can't have my own business. So many women think they're not financially savvy, and many of them are not, but that is something you can learn, and it's something you need to learn. I think whether you're in a corporate career or working for someone else or running your own small business, you've got to have a really good relationship with money. And you can't be in denial about it, right? The sixth myth I see is my career is dried up, so there's absolutely nothing else I can do. That's just a myth. I mean, I see it over and over. There's ways to repurpose what you've done and find a need for it in the world and go after that to serve that need. Myth number seven, I'm in so much pain that I just want to quit, and either quitting is better or just getting another job will be better. Not necessarily so. When you're that desperate, you can leap, and because your eyes are not wide open, you're desperate to get out of the pain you're in, and often you're just going to jump from the fire into the frying pan. Number eight, I can't get the recognition I deserve here. I just have to leave. I want to tell you over and over, I've helped people change that. Yes, that was true. The way they were perceived, the way they had built relationships, they weren't getting what they needed. But then they shifted. And I want to tell you, and there's no guarantees here, but it can be miraculous. It can be so quick, the shift in what's coming your way when you shift. Okay? All right, what else do we need to know? If you're really struggling with what buckets or what do I do next, it's a process of elimination, you know? Start looking at what isn't, what you don't want, and cross that off the list, right? So let me give you a few tips about if you're in each of these buckets, what to do. So if you, number one, if you want to stay, well, then you have to articulate really clearly in your mind what is greater success and happiness in this job. What are you missing? And we've got to help you figure out one step to take to shift that. If you stay and you want more, but you don't do anything differently, nothing's going to change. If you don't change how you operate, if you don't change your communication, if you don't change your relationships, if you don't change what you're contributing, doing, if nothing changes, nothing's going to change. Right? So identify, what do you think is going to bring you more happiness? Like for Angelique, maybe it's she gets this job, but actually she wants to work with in the children's arena in program development. Well, what's going to help her do that? Where does she get a certification in that or more experience or a hands-on project management in that? What can she do, right? Number two, the second bucket, if you want a new job, first identify the motivation. And if it's you're running, then don't do it like that. Secondly, I define the ideal next job. You know, I just had a client yesterday. Another high-powered, really accomplished person simply couldn't identify the idea. I don't know. I don't know what the ideal thing is. So we peel the onion, peel the onion, peel the onion. What's the outcome that you could feel passionate about? Don't worry about the hows. You know, what is something that you could apply your amazing skills at that will move the needle for somebody or something that's going to make you feel proud and self-respecting, right? Just start defining the ideal next step. How about, I want a new career. Well, okay, let's identify the top three directions for that based on your skills, based on your talents, based on your passions, right? Now, if it's something that's completely disconnected to what you're going to do, what you're doing now, excuse me, we have to build a transition plan because it's a tough economy now. You know, what came to mind is I'm being interviewed at 2:30 by Working Mother magazine. On if you're a mother, how do you talk about that in a cover letter? And I've been in a piece that I say basically don't talk about that in a cover letter. Employers want to know how you're going to hit the ground running and help them solve their business problems. And if you have no experience doing that, or if you've been out of work 15 years, you're really going to have a tough time. And so you just have to understand the challenges. Put yourself in the position of a hiring manager. If you have none of the skills that they're looking for, you know, that's not going to work. You've got to find a way to get some of those skills. And then let's say you do want a new career that you do have some skills in and you have some chops and some ability. Well, it's time to begin to try on that new direction. Physically, emotionally, spiritually, try it on. Get experience in it somehow. And finally, if you are really thinking about exploring launching a business, before you do it, read Michael Gerber's book, The E-Myth Revisited. It's a sobering story and lots of data, lots of exercises, lots of anecdotal information. But, you know, vast majority of small businesses that are launched don't make it. And there are reasons for that. And you don't want to be one of those, right? And if you're exploring a new business, start. Write the business plan. And I have, you know, if you're interested, let me know. I have some business plan templates. But you need a business plan, a marketing plan, and a financial plan, and you need help. You need a financial consultant to look at it, financial advisor. You don't want to leap into this thing just going, woohoo, I'm buying this franchise or I'm doing this, not knowing what you're getting into. All right, so let's go back. Who's got a question? This is a lot of content, folks, and I know that you have something to say, something to share, and you have a question. So who's going to press star 2 and raise your hand? Let me help you. You know, where are you stuck? Where do you need a little push? Where do you need us to peel the onion? Or what's going really well? Let me go to the Q&A. See what we've got here. Wendy. Wendy, hi. Different Wendy from California. Finding path, need some skills, clear path to not get overwhelmed. Oh, so can you tell a little more about that? What is exactly, what's the issue that you're having? What can I help you with? Give me a specific question. Pardon me, and I would love to help you get to the bottom of what needs to be done. Okay, Wendy, can you give me a real specific question? That's easier for me to address. All right. All right, who's going to raise their hand? I'm not getting off this call without answering some questions here. Now's your chance, my friends, because, you know, time is scarce here. I'm only with you six more times, I think. Thank you so much. Let me be of help. All right. Hello. Who do we have? Hello. Bellevue. Hi, who's this?
Hello, Kathy.
Hi. Can you hear me? Hello.
Hello, Kathy.
Hello. Hi.
So I'm just going to ask another question because it just seems that other people aren't. So when
right.
I see this come
Lisa
up a lot
again?
In the... Yes, it is.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. When we see a question from you, what would you give up everything for?
Right.
Can you flesh that out a little bit in terms of our consideration for careers, what you mean
yes.
by that, please?
I will. So wonderful, and thank you for raising your hand. So when I look at my life, and I have to say that this was pretty clear to me throughout my whole life. I knew I wanted children, this is just me, and I knew that I didn't want to blow it in terms of how I was as a parent. And I would give up everything for that. And now they're 18 and 21, and hopefully I've done a decent job. You know, they're amazing people. I'm proud of them. And they're well-adjusted, and, you know, it's gone very well. But I knew that I did not want to get to the end of my life or even to this stage in their life and have the hurt on my heart that I wasn't there for them. That was not something that was bearable for me. So I would have given up everything for that. Every career, I would have given up a job. I would have given up anything for that. I would have gone through all my money if they needed to go to a private school. That was my priority. The second thing, what I would give up everything for and have, truthfully, is when I got laid off and I was so broken down. I mean, really. Was I clinically depressed? Probably. You know, thankfully I was in therapy. Everything was so broken in my professional life. I mean, having experienced all 12 of those professional crises that I faced, that I write about in my book, basically pushed me to my knees. I was a broken individual. And when I saw the light, which was not that much later, when I was in my therapist's office and he said, look, what do you want to do? I know you're crying and this looks like the worst crisis, but what do you, from where I sit, it's the first moment you can choose what you want to do. What do you want to do? And I said, I want to help people. And I would say that I would give up everything for doing the work that I'm doing now, which is helping women overcome the breakdown challenges of their professional life. And what does that mean, give up everything for? I did. I went through all my money, and I almost lost our house here in Wilton, Connecticut, literally. You know, thank God that didn't happen. But so that's what I mean. Something that's so compelling that you will give up everything for it. Now, I would say this. If it's a negative, like I will give up everything to hurt this person, that is not going to lead you to happiness. So I know you're not saying this, but let's say in your career, I hate these people and, you know, I want to hurt them. That only hurts us. That destroys us. So does this make sense? Oh, no.
Yes, that helps.
So let's talk since no one's raising their hand, let's talk. What do you think you would give up everything for?
I'm just kind of thinking that it's kind of a personal thing. I lost a parent at a very young age, and I know the kind of the struggles and the difficulties that kids have when that happens.
Sure.
And, you know, I was just trying to think if they're, especially with the internet now and information and access to programs and things widely available, you know, I'm just kind of wondering if there might be a, you know, a kind of an organized, better use of that technology for kids who find, or for families who find themselves in that situation.
I love it. So, you know, write that down as a brainstorm. Let mm-hmm. me go back to you being a pathologist.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything about pathology?
Yes,
that was,
ergonomics. Ergonomics. So a lot of physicians and pathologists have ergonomic issues. You know, we're at microscopes and computers a lot during our workday. And I think that kind of some attention to that could be transforming for careers for physicians and diminish you know, disability issues. And
wow.
So I think that's kind of a far-reaching issue with physicians in general and pathologists and laboratorians in particular.
Love it. I love it. I love these brainstorms. So let me dig one more layer. I'm talking about, you are a physician. You went to medical school for pathology, right?
Yes.
What drew you to that? Why'd you do it?
I like the diagnostic part of medicine. The treatment part to me was quite, it's very formulaic. It's, you know, somebody comes in with chest pain and there are many things you have to do, you must do. And for me, the diagnostics was a little more interesting, and I still have to get to the right answer. But everybody comes at that amazingly from slightly different directions. Our brains all don't think the same way, but we ultimately get to the same answer. It's kind of interesting. So I had a mentor who was a pathologist and who was in the laboratory, and I liked him very much. I just happened to be assigned to him my first year, and so I always liked the lab.
The lab. Was there anything about healing? I want to help people live?
Well, you know, yes. So the healing part I don't necessarily do, but what I do is I get them to the next step correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So the information goes to their physician, and then that helps get them forward, whether it's nothing to worry about or whether they need to take the next step. So yes, that's a really crucial piece of the of care, you know, to get them in the right direction.
Yeah. So let me throw something out that just came to me and see if it's at all helpful. Oh, this one client I have, and I wrote about her in Forbes, she's a radiologist, and she manages a large practice, and you know, she's amazing. Well, we were talking one day, and she just threw out the idea that she's observed, hang with me here for a minute, she's observed that male oncologists who are treating breast cancer of women often suggest a treatment plan that female oncologists wouldn't. And what she's noticed is that males are all about preserving the breasts. That they, this
mm-hmm.
is her hypothesis. So, for instance, there was an 80-year-old patient who had breast cancer, and the immediate knee-jerk reaction of the oncologist was, let's save the breast and
mm-hmm.
make this 80-year-old undergo chemo, radiation, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
And my client has said to her female colleagues, wow, I wouldn't have done that. Would you? And they all said no. So I said, my God, that could be a breakthrough idea. The idea that gender, well, of course, gender impacts everything. But the
sure.
idea that gender, your unconscious gender biases around breasts, are impacting your treatment plans and you don't even know it. So she said she was so keen about this, she was going to do research. She was going to engage
well,
in research. Isn't that
mm-hmm.
fascinating?
It
so
is.
In Forbes, I wrote about how do you have a breakthrough idea. But here is an example of a woman who, she does love her practice, and there is a lot of toxicity among the personalities that she's managing. But she loves her work. But this breakthrough idea, if it came to pass, I mean, she could, who knows, 5 years from now, she could be on the road teaching about gender bias in cancer treatment, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
So
mm-hmm.
you've been a pathologist. You really have a lot of skill and talent. and check that Forbes post out. I'll try to remember
and
link to it. But it's about how to have a breakthrough idea. First, you have to specialize. Then you have to observe yourself and others. Then you have to have a hypothesis. Then you have to research. And then you have to want to make a difference, which is once that hypothesis is proved, you get on the road and you teach it and whatever. Does any of that interest you? That was a long story.
It does. It does. I'm not sure I'd be as skilled at a breakthrough idea as your radiologist was, but I like the scenario. I like the process, and definitely something that that I can approach.
Chew on.
You know,
I want you to. You're in the point I feel energetically that you want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Like ergonomics might be throwing the baby out with the bathwater. I mean, it's tangential because it's something you all face. But I would love you to brainstorm more about just for this first step. I've been a pathologist for 30 years or whatever it is. How can I present a breakthrough concept, idea, strategy, program that's going to make me feel like I've made a difference in for the reason that I went into this field? Does this make sense?
It does, yes.
All right.
I had a conversation.
Go ahead.
I had a conversation yesterday with another physician, and I was hoping that there'd be a role for me in her her idea, but I'm not sure that there is. But I like exploring. I like what you're suggesting to explore. Thank you.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. So will you share with us, and I know that might be hard, but anything you can about the process of this, because whatever you're going through is going to help other people understand how to look at, how to leverage who I am and not chuck it out, but leverage it and make a bigger impact that's going to make me feel so grateful that I am who I am. All right?
Yes, I'll share. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you so much. You. All right, everyone, 3 more minutes. Anybody at all want to raise their hand? Let me go back to the Q&A. What do we have? How do you define, I don't see who this is, but how do you define clearly your skill set? And how do you articulate how to repurpose the experience you've had? Oof. That's a fantastic question. So, you know, when you look back on the career path assessment that you did, there should be some clues to that. What you want to look at, and go back to that assessment and redo it if you haven't done it, you want to look at every job you've ever had. What skills did you use? Go down to the minutia. I administrated, I organized files. Let me give myself as an example. From the very first job, like even the job I had in the summer, I was on the computer, and I typed and I organized files. Boring, but I have always been great at organizing. That's a total skill of mine. The way I even think is very organized, like an outline. Then my first job after college was in marketing of science books and journals. If I even break that down, what are the skills? Project management. Copywriting, reading really complex scientific material and making sense of it to the layperson to write copy, communicating with other editors to promote books. So I was a good communicator. I was a good relationship builder. Break down every job. When I look at one more example, when I was a vice president, I hated the job. It was toxic, but I did some pretty amazing things. I was able to bring in $5 million clients because I really listened, bank clients. I listened to what they needed. I listened to what we hadn't been giving them. I changed things. I had a vision and people followed it. I was a good leader. I was a good communicator. I was a good team builder. Break down every job you've ever had and every outside activity. You know, I happen to be a singer. Why do I love that? Because I love to be on stage and I love to use my voice. Every job, every experience, break it down. It takes a few hours. But you will, if you write down every job you've ever had and every skill and talent that you used, you're going to start seeing themes over time. Then you want to look at the skills that you love to use. Some skills we don't like. You know, I managed P&Ls. I hated it. I don't love numbers. I love ideas and words. But I have a skill in that. So then you want to look at the skills that, and talents you love to use. Those are the ones you want to build your living around, the natural talents that simply come beautifully easy to you, because then it's going to make your career feel easy, right? And then how do you articulate those? This is work you have to do. And if you need outside help, Laura's amazing, Laura Neff, amazing, reach out to her. You have to be able to talk about what you're great at. And a lot of women can't do this. And there's a fantastic book, Peggy Klaus's book, Brag, The Art of Tooting Your Horn Without Blowing It. She talks about bragalogs, how to pull out key gems about what you've done, what you've contributed, the outcomes that you've created in the workplace that no one else could have and that no one else did. And if you want an example, look at my LinkedIn profile. You know, nobody's gonna accuse me of not speaking up about myself. It's easy for me to do that, and I'm not ashamed, and I'm not overly humble about that. I will speak fact about what I've done. So check me out on LinkedIn. That's how you do it. Okay? Fantastic question. If you have more, post them on Facebook. Laura will jump in. I'll jump in. Great questions. Again, I want to say to you, I am committed to helping you budge out of being stuck, and we have 6 more weeks to do it. So I'm asking you to really commit yourself 200% to this process. Do all the homework. Catch up. Do the work. Where you have questions, ask them. Because I really want you to be at the end of this saying, I know what I want and I know how to get it. All right, my friends. Thank you so much. Have a fantastic week, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The moderator has left the conference.